Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page. The reading is taken from Psalm 119, verse 7 to 104, and 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 17. The talk this morning is from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, and we continue our series based on Pete Gregg's book, How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. This week we learn about hearing God's word in the Bible.
We're now going to hear from the word of God. So Nigel's going to bring us a psalm, and Marilyn is going to bring us a word from Timothy. And before you read the psalm, I just felt like when I was reading this, it felt like something I would love to be able to say with all integrity. And so I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, like, as he reads this out over us this morning, may we hope to be like it. May we strive to be like the words that he's about to say. So, thank you, Nigel.
So our reading is from Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. This is the word of the Lord.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. Paul's charge to Timothy. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and impostors will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. This is the word of the Lord to us.
Let's pray. Jesus, you are the word of God in fleshed. Now you are the word that speaks to us through the Spirit. As we explore scripture that has been inspired and breathed out by you, open our minds and our hearts that we may be transformed and willing to obey. Amen. So we are in this series on hearing God. And we do this series because we believe God speaks and we can hear him. And that's good news because that's the heart of who God is. God is not this kind of far away maker that has made this world as a clockmaker and he's forgotten about us. He's deeply involved in his world. He's deeply present. Yes, he's also outside our world. And so we have this kind of difficult way of understanding God being present and God being above. But God speaks. And today we're going to explore about God speaking through scriptures. And so we inspired through a book from Peter Craig, How to Hear God. And last week we started with where it's right to start, with Jesus. And the story that we are going to follow through the weeks is the story of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus' resurrection. And in that story, they were talking to each other. They had heard kind of strange stories from women who had seen angels saying, "He's not here, he's alive." And those women had seen an empty tomb, and Peter and the disciples who ran with him, who was faster than him, if you were here on Sunday, Easter Sunday, they also had seen the empty tomb, but they were still not aware of Jesus' bodily resurrection. And so they were on that road to Emmaus. And I'm just going to go quickly back to that. And I will then stop on one bit, which we'll then explore this morning. So thank you, Dave, for kind of telling us that this is not a myth. It's not kind of a story that was made up to tell us some deep truth. It has the ring of truth. And yes, it's more than just a story. It's not just information. It is to tell us something about God's character and God's way of opening our minds. And so we have those two disciples, and they're talking to each other about what had happened, and then Jesus himself comes and walks alongside them, and they don't recognize him. And he asks them a question: "What are you discussing together as you walked alone?" Now, interesting, do you remember the first question that God asked Adam and Eve when they were lost? "Where are you?" And that shows already that this person walking alongside the two disciples is God himself, asking a similar question. Where are you? Why do you discuss those things? Have you not understood what this was all about? What are you discussing together? And interesting in that story, they said they stood still. Jesus caught their attention, and that's what he does with us. He catches our attention. And their faces downcast. They were disappointed. And last week we had this kind of practical thing we did together when we wrote some words on that foot, our own disappointment, and they've been prayed for during the week, and they're still here, and we continue to pray for that. They were downcast. And then Jesus walks with them. Their response, you know, "Are you the only one who haven't heard what happened to this Jesus of Nazareth, a powerful prophet, powerful in words and deeds, how he was put to death, crucified? We had hope. We had hope he was the one who would deliver us." It's quite interesting how Jesus responds. He says, "How foolish." I mean, they were already downcast. That's not the kind of partial response a vicar would do to someone. But Jesus has this mixture of truth and grace. He will always put the finger fully where it needs to go, and sometimes that's painful, but he will be full of grace. "How foolish and slow to believe all that the prophet hath spoken." And then he goes through all the scriptures that were open to the Jews at the time, the Torah and the prophets and the wisdom books, and he shows them through all those scriptures why the Messiah had to suffer and then enter in glory. And so scriptures has been God-breathed from the beginning, and that's why it has authority on us today. It's because it has been originated and inspired and willed by God himself. And in that sense, it's different from any other writings in this world, even other writings of big philosophies or great religion. It's of a different kind. It has been breathed by God. And so when we open scripture, when we read scripture, the same dynamic happens to us today. Through God, Holy Spirit, God then talks to us, affirm his desire, his will, his plans for us individually and for us as a church. So how to hear God? Here's the book and the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So when it comes to hearing God, Peter Craig in his book would say, "Scripture is the language of his heart. Nothing he says in any other way, and we will explore other ways, prophecy or dreams or insight. But nothing he says in any of those other ways should ever override, undermine, or contradict what he has said in Scripture. The Bible is that constant source of guidance, wisdom, and direction, not just for our own life, but for the life of the church. The more we engage our head and our heart with what we are reading, the more familiar, and I like that word, and familial it becomes. You feel at home. You feel at home with Scriptures. It's not just familiar, but it becomes familial. It's like a GPS that guides you along the path of your life. So, hearing God through Scripture, here's a question. Are you approaching the Bible more like a debit account or a saving account? Or maybe not account at all. Here is a quote. This is a man who says, "For years, I've viewed my interaction with the Bible as a debit account. I had a need, so I went to the Bible to withdraw an answer." But we do much better to view our interaction with the Bible as a savings account. I stretch my understanding daily. I deposit what I glean. I patiently wait for it to accumulate in value, knowing that one day I will need to draw on it. You see, the difference between a debit account and a saving account is that you regularly interact with Scripture. You read Scripture. And it might not speak to you now, but you know that doing that, you're putting all those treasure in that account. And when the time comes, what you've read sometimes a month ago, sometimes a year ago, will come and make sense and feed and help you. Now, the worst would be to have no account at all, that actually Scripture doesn't really play a part in your life. Maybe the only times you spend with Scripture is on Sunday. Here is an interesting survey that was done among 40,000 people aged between 8 and 80. The result was that reading the Bible had a profound effect on both mental health and spiritual growth, but only if it's done at least 4 times a week. Once or twice a week provides a negligible benefit, and 3 times only results in a slight improvement. But those who would do 4 or more, regular Bible readers, are 30% less likely to feel lonely, 32% less prone to anger issues, 60% less likely to report feelings of spiritual stagnation, and 228% more likely to be active in sharing their faith. Now, it's a survey. It is what it is. But it says something quite deeply about our need to interact with Scriptures on a daily basis, on a very regular basis, to find a way to take that time with God and Scripture. And that's because the Word of God is living and active. Because when we speak about the Word of God, we don't just speak about physical words in a book. We speak about a living Word. And thank you very much for the worship for reminding us, Lizzie, that it is the Word who was at the beginning. The Word, John says, was at the beginning. The Word was God. The Word was with God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing that has been made was made. In him was life, and he's the light. And that Word came and lived among us. And then that Word went on the cross and then conquered sin and death. And that Word is still alive and active. Jesus still speaks to us today. And we have all of Scripture now available to us, the Old Testament and the New Testament, to discover this Word, living Word, and active. I'm going to give you another picture, and then you'll have an exercise to do. So the second picture is, imagine you're in a room, and there is a big window, only one window. But the window is a kind of window you find in bathrooms. You know, the ones that when you try to look outside, it's quite blurry, and for very good reason. You know, it's your bathroom. You don't want people to look inside. But so imagine, but you know that on the other side of that window, there is this beautiful, most beautiful, breathtaking scenery. For you, that might be the perfect beach with golden sand and palm trees and blue skies and blue water, and definitely no shark in the water, please. For others, might be a majestic view of a lake with a background, within the background, magnificent mountains. Whatever it is, it's where you always dream to go on holiday, if you had the money. So you picture that. Well, each time you come to Scripture, it's like opening that window. It's like being in that place with God. It's opening a window into what is possible, getting hold of the promises of God. Opening a window into what is true, His true character and His intentions for our lives and for His church. It is opening a window to perceive His work through history and what it reveals about Himself and His plans for humanity. It's about learning who God is and who we are and what it means to live a life that's worth living. So with that in mind, the exercise is I would like you to turn to one another and just to share might be one of the stories that encourage you the most in the Bible. Maybe, you know, I really like that story. Might be a verse that, you know, that's a key verse for you. Might be something you heard this week or this month, you know, an encouragement. You really believe God spoke to you through that part of the Scripture. So, specific verse, something that really stands out, a story, or something that God said to you. Just to help you, I have all those three. For me, one of the main passages is, as I became a Christian, was John 10, when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and I have this sheep, but I have other sheep, and they will hear my voice, and I will call them. And that night I knew God had called me. That's a very special passage. A verse for me is Jesus, who says, all authority now has been given to me, so go. That's the mission of the church. Go, go, go. Tell others about what I have done for you and what I want to do for this world. And then an encouragement for me in this time of COVID has been a very simple verse. Be still and know that I am God. And through prayer, I've seen things change. And it's not straightforward and quick, but we can trust that God is God and is still God and He's working in His world. So turn to one another and share something for about 5 minutes. So, you can continue after the service. Isn't it good to hear from each other what God is saying to you, how you are experiencing God in your readings and as you think about Scripture, how you've seen God in your life? There are no coincidences in our lives. They're all God coincidences. God directing things so that we become aware of His presence. He likes to get our attention. So in our readings this morning, we have one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament because the whole of Scripture is Christian Scripture. The whole Testament and the New Testament. And so David, there in Psalm 119, and nearly every verse is about David being excited about God's word, about His law, His instructions. He says, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long, constantly. Now, David was very busy. He was a king. And yet, he was able to meditate, to think about God's scriptures for him. It made him wise. He gives him insight. He said, more insight than any of my teacher. He gives me understanding. He keeps me from evil path. You are teaching me. Dave had that deep understanding and experience of a personal God who was directing him. He wasn't without his flaw. He had big ones. He killed and he committed adultery. And yet he was a friend of God because he was in that place where when he did wrong, he would recognize it. And I don't know if you followed the story of the MP this week. And I don't know if you heard his interview on TV. I was quite amazed by what he said. If you haven't, then in one way, it was refreshing. He made a big mistakes and he accepts it. But it was refreshing the way he then made the decision to be public with it. He had his flaw, like David, but he didn't hide it at the end. And that was refreshing. And then in our New Testament, we have Paul, who gives his instruction to Timothy and says, at the heart of your ministry, keep scriptures. You know them since you are a child. And they help you to understand who Christ is, who Jesus is. And they will continue to nourish you to live the way God calls you to live. And so we have those four aspects that scripture does when we interact, when we pray about it, when we read, we meditate, we study. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. Profitable? Profitable. Sounds like profiterole, but it's profitable. Profitable. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. I forgot his name, but the way he puts it is, teaching is God showing us the path on which we should walk. First is the path that leads to Jesus. That's where it starts. And then how God, through his Spirit, transforms our thinking and our hearts so that our lives express his intentions. So that's God showing you the path on which you should walk. Rebuking is God showing you when you're off the path, when you're getting wrong. Correcting is God showing you how to get back on that path. And training is God showing you then how to stay on it. So he wants us to walk that path, a path of life. And sometimes we get off of it. So he rebukes us. And then he shows us how to go back on track. That's our correction. And then he trains us so we stay there. And so God wants to speak through his scriptures and we can hear his voice. But we need to do that regularly. And it will be different for people. So I have some suggestions here. When you read, if you open, you know, maybe take a book. Maybe from today says, actually, you know, I haven't really engaged. I'm going to start Gospel, maybe John or Mark. I'm going to try to read a chapter a day. And, you know, you might be one day and, you know, you're not in a good place. Don't beat yourself. But you said, you know, if 3 or 4 times this week. And then you might, as you read, think, oh, there is a light bulb moment, something that shines through the passage. Maybe something that you're not very sure about. You put a question mark. And something that really speaks to you that you think you can apply to your day. That's one method of reading scripture. If you are internet savvy, you go to Bible Gateway, you have access to so many different translations. But also the good thing is that you can have a play button. And you can be in front of your computer and you can play the chapter and it's read to you. And that was mostly the experience that the disciples saw, or most of the time of the church, is that the word was spoken to people because they couldn't read. And it makes a difference to hear scripture. So that's something you might want to try this week. Of course, you have your daily devotions, and here in this church, you can take for free the UCB word for today. So that's another way. And you just open the page, and you have the dates, and you can follow, and you have a thought for the day and a scripture. And that's one way to be connected and engage with God. I'm doing the Bible in 1 year, I told you, when I'm on treadmills or whatever, I'm listening to the Bible in 1 year. So if you're savvy with your mobile phone, you can download the app, it's free, and you can go through the whole Bible in 1 year. And if you can't do every day, don't worry, it's day 1, 2, 3, so you can do it in 2 years if you need to. But that's a great way to go through the whole Bible. And then, of course, scriptures, you know, it's a long document. It's been written in many different settings and cultures and times, and so it's helpful to have some background information about the books so that we can interpret and use it wisely. And so this Bible project is a great place to get background information about different books and about the Old Testament and the New Testament and how it all works together. So there we go. What I'm going to do is that I'll put that on a website so you can have a look. If it will help, I can send it as an email to the whole church. If you're on the email list, then you'll get that. And that's one way for you to engage with scriptures. Why do we do that? Well, in Hebrew it says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Or sharper, another translation, as a surgeon's scalpel. Yeah? Scalpel. It cuts through everything. It judges our thoughts and our attitudes of the heart. When we go through Scripture, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered. So first, Scripture will ring your thoughts, your thinking. It will tune them towards what matters. It brings purpose, direction, and truth. And secondly, it wins your heart. If it stays to your head, there's not much purpose. It needs to sink into your heart. It needs to reorientate your desires and strengthen your resolves. Sometimes they're uncomfortable because God is showing something that needs to be addressed in our lives, like that surgical instrument, the scalpel, that will cut through layers of pride, of unbelief, of mistrust, misguided values or desires. But it will win our hearts and our mind, and it will do its work of transformation. So let's finish with this few verses from Psalm, which is a prayer from David for God to lead his life through Scripture. Because God wants to set our hearts and our mind on fire with a fresh passion for Scripture. O Lord, I give you my life, and I trust you, my God. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth, and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.